Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host for the next 90 minutes. This is another in our News in Review series, and our focus, once again this week, is going to be on the frustrating Florida case, Hayley Cummings. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Jan.
From Florida, we have the always interesting William Cobra Storbs. Cobra,
hey.
How's it going today?
Hey, Simon, how are you guys? And Jan and everybody? Good to be here.
That's great. Also from Florida, my very good friend and ace reporter, TJ Hart. TJ, how's your day going?
So far, so good. Tracking three tropical storms that are going to be invading
That's
our state
great.
Shortly. Three.
Oh, great.
Mine.
Or about one.
don't they always say that things come in threes?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is the damnedest thing I've ever seen. I woke up this morning in Orlando. I was taking my daughter back home to Illinois, took her to the airport. So I wake up at the Pop Century Hotel down there at Disney, and Tropical Storm Claudette. What? Who's this? And it's coming your way, Simon. It's going to hit the panhandle. And Apalachicola, which is Indian for Land of the Happy Indians. They're not going to be too happy
yeah.
with 60-mile-an-hour winds and about a foot of rain. On top of that, we have Anna coming at us at about Thursday, and then probably Saturday, we might be up to our necks with Hurricane Bill, and about that time, it ought to be a Category 2.
Hurricane
so in the meantime,
Bill.
Let's find a little girl. Yeah,
Hurricane Bill.
Can we nickname it Cobra?
Yes.
Sure can.
Yes, I think so.
When's that
coming, TJ?
Be about Saturday.
Well, Saturday, man, in case you didn't hear, a good dear friend of mine purchased me a ticket, but he called me at 1 o'clock in the morning and said, you in bed? I said, yeah, I thought I was. He goes, man, you going to Canada? I said, what? So they sending me up there Saturday morning, 6:30, and back 11 o'clock at night. So I guess in case the hurricane comes, I'll just fly on over and let y'all do what you got to deal with.
All right. Well, you stay in Gainesville with me. We're pretty safe.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we get them, but they get worn down pretty good by the time they hit us.
Yeah.
I probably should let our listeners into this story. Cobras, is it your youngest daughter?
It's my oldest, my firstborn.
Okay, his oldest daughter is getting married this weekend in Mississauga, and congratulations to your daughter, Cobra, and
thank you.
Congratulations that you're going to be able to make it to the wedding.
Finally, you know, that was cutting it pretty dadgum close, buddy. As some of your listeners don't know, there's been absolutely no funding. There's been a lot of problems, and then the legal problems and everything else, and I flat out told her, honey, I can't come. Well, I didn't know that, you know, I'm a hillbilly. I didn't know that was that crushing of a situation. Well, my good friend who has helped me in the past called me at 1 o'clock and said, hey, I just went online and purchased you a airline ticket. I think hope it'll be all right.
That's great. We haven't even started the show. I'm still trying to assemble the panel. Let's see if we have any more panelists on the line. Someone from the 111 area code? You have a blocked ID or something?
Yeah, this is Leonard Padilla.
Leonard.
Hi, Leonard!
Oh,
I should
okay.
have unblocked him, but I didn't even think.
Leonard Padilla! What's
this?
I don't...
training.
I don't think our listeners need any introduction. This is the one and only Leonard Padilla joining us this afternoon. Leonard, it is great that you found some time to join in our program. I'm expecting a couple of other people, but before we go there, let's get on with the show. As always, our switchboard is open, and we welcome your questions and comments. The switchboard number is 646-378-1120. Our chat room is also open, and you're welcome to leave your questions there or just hang out and chat with the other folks. The Haley Cummings case took a few bizarre twists this week, and I'm sure the panel is going to have lots to talk about. Ronald Cummings managed to spend some quality time cooling his heels in jail following a confrontation with his brother-in-law. TJ, what can you tell us about that?
Apparently there were some phone calls being traded back and forth between Misty and her brother, Hank Crosland Jr., throughout the course of the day that this happened. It's not clear as to who called whom and how many times, but the word we're getting from the Crosland family was that Misty wanted to not be staying with Ron at that time. And then when asked about that by law enforcement, Misty said on nothing of that. She said that, in fact, her brother had been calling her, bugging her, and he wanted to come over. Well, whatever the reason that he got over, when he did come over, Ron Cummings wasn't too pleased about it. It was pretty late in the day, midnight or better. And that's when a confrontation took place in the front yard, according to police reports. Ronald, who is, and Misty and Junior, who are staying with Ronald's grandmother, Annette Sykes, said, "Ronald, you go inside." So he started heading inside. Something was popped off. He came back out. There were fisticuffs. Allegedly, Misty got hit in the face a couple of times in the fray. Hank Sr. was trying to break it up. The charge of burglary comes into play, I guess, when, according to police officers who talked to me, when Ronald went into the van where Hank Crosland Jr. was, and by entering the van without permission, that constituted burglary, but he also was charged with a battery offense as well. So it's about as clear as mud. Everybody has their own story, and it's like if you come upon an accident in an intersection, five people see the same thing, but when they give their story, you'd swear to God they didn't see anything of the sort. So they're still trying to get that taken care of. Later, there was some alleged mischief. Evidently, a headless rat was found in the mailbox of Hank Crosland Jr., and he believed it to have been at the hands of Ronald Cummings. And apparently a witness stated that they believe the vehicle that pulled up was messing with the mailbox belonged to Ronald. No charges were filed in that. It's been a bizarre week. With those two incidents happening, it's also the weekend that Haley is having her birthday celebration. Yesterday, they tried to collect some school supplies out at Riverfront Park in Palatka, right there on the beautiful St. John's River, and that is a beautiful park. I understand that the Cummings family was in, Ronald Cummings family was, the intention was to be there to drop off supplies. This was being done through Marie Griffiths and I think the Haley's Closet program. This would have been on Crystal Sheffield's side of the family. Today, just a little bit ago, there was a church service in Wallaca at the Baptist Church for young Haley. And then tomorrow, about 2:17 in the afternoon, there will be a balloon release at Riverfront Park with Ronald Cummings' family. And these are helium-filled balloons, and they're inviting people to stick flyers, the FDLE Missing Child Amber Alert flyers, in these balloons and release them. And hopefully, a symbol of keeping her face and awareness out there for everybody. And people all over the United States are invited to do the same thing as well. So that has pretty much been the week in review, and there's still more to come. But I don't know if I want to open that door yet.
Oh,
come on, you tease.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
I think now, it's time to open one of the doors.
One door open.
All right.
Okay.
The news.
Open one door.
The news on Friday.
Yeah, that's the one I was going to open the door on.
I am. Was that Mark Mangin, announced a press conference that's going to be held on Monday.
Yes.
To announce that he and Tim Miller of Texas Equisearch may well be back in the game. And that is the reason that I invited Leonard to join us this afternoon. Leonard, you know lots and lots about these two characters, and you know what they did in the Kaylee Anthony case. What's your thoughts?
Well, anything that can bring newsworthy activity to a missing child is good. If Najami and Tim Miller get involved, gets it back into the television, radio, printed media, that is good, regardless of what the initial intentions are. It's just a matter of people talking about this little girl again. That is important. If it's for other reasons that her name comes into play, to me, it doesn't matter, and it has never mattered in other missing person issues. It's a situation where I think it's a situation to where more media has to be brought to bear on this issue. And it's the same thing that happens with other missing children. You take the little boy up in Idaho, he was found in 10 days. The little girl in Tracy was found in 14 days. I believe the child is alive, but then I was wrong in the Casey Anthony situation. So by Najami and Tim Miller getting involved, if it brings media to attention, more power to them.
Okay, let's take a quick call. I've had someone on the line for quite some time. Area code 417. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, this is Nikki. Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing? Hi, Cobra. Hi, Leonard.
Hey,
I have a question. Yeah, I just kind of have a question for everybody that, you know, has a theory. Has the FBI talked to anybody about what their profile is? I mean, I kind of have two different ones, but I'd like to know what you think, Leonard, what you think, Cobra, or anybody.
Well, let me jump up first here and tell you this. The FBI originally thought it was a situation where one of the local sexual predators had possibly come into the home and taken the child, molested her, and possibly even done away with her. Subsequent to that, there was another FBI theory that maybe this was just a two-family situation gone wrong, and the child was off somewhere. That's the one I'm inclined to believe, and that's basically their two theories as of right now.
Well, why would they do it, and who would?
Well, I'm gonna. The first, everything Padilla said a while ago, absolutely. And those two theories are exactly true. Now, I was going with the living theory as well up until this Equisearch. Now, I don't know them to look for living bodies. And by, I believe, Neves's calling them in or hooking that thing up, are they conceding that the child is dead? And the only logical view, I mean, if I applied linear logic to this and reasoning, says that if the child was alive, Misty would have a better story. It would take the focus off of her. She would be talking and keep talking and keep talking until everybody knew what the hell the story really was. And just in logic reasoning here, Misty doesn't believe herself. So why should we? Period.
No, I think, Bill, I think the situation with Misty is, she wasn't in the residence. My opinion. This is my opinion.
Right.
She was not in the residence at the time the child was taken from the residence.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't she just fess up? I mean, she should do that. I mean, if she wasn't in the residence, she'd been saying this all along, she was asleep, then somehow or another, wherever she got that $12,000 from to bond Ronald out of jail, she needs to go get a whole bunch more of it.
Well, like, Leonard, you worked on the Casey Anthony case,
and
Anthony said so many lies, and it's hard when they say so many lies on top of one another.
Let me bring something into play. Remember, Bill, that old country western song from many, many years ago? The guy couldn't give up his alibi. They were hanging him, and he couldn't give up his alibi. Remember why he couldn't give up the alibi?
Mm-hmm.
He was with his best friend's wife.
There you go. And there,
mm-hmm.
and
she can't
and,
give up the truth because of where she was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's been said by some of us privately along with law enforcement, and some of that, I guess it's out there on the Internet now. I don't know it be true, but it involves this Tommy feller.
Okay,
what
there's
do you
a
think?
Big pregnant pause there.
We just let it ride out. I mean, you know, you don't just get dead rats in your mailbox for no damn reason at all. To me, that's a death threat. And also the hygiene of it, I mean, my God, the simple hygiene of it is nasty enough to do to somebody. But beheaded rat means a lot more
that's
than right. what you think it means.
Can't they get fingerprints off the mailbox?
They don't need to get fingerprints off the mailbox. They know exactly who did that.
Sure, absolutely.
But they won't tell us.
Yes.
Well, there is supposedly a nosy neighbor that is making claims she saw Ron do it.
2 + 2 = 4 all day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on now.
And if he did it, it had to happen like a day ahead of time or that.
Well, I think the rat, though, the dead rat's in reference to him spending 2 days in jail for being stupid, you know, and he's saying
yeah.
that Frostland snitched him off. Hell, everybody saw what he was doing, you know, that's how snitch takes place.
Yeah.
There was 10 people there.
There's no snitching when you decide to throw down in a crowd.
Yeah. Ridiculous. But getting back to the initial situation, and that is that Haley is missing and has been for 6 months. That is something that's important, and I think it was important enough to where if Tim Miller and Najami are involved, it'll bring media attention. I don't believe the child is dead, but then again, I keep saying the same thing. I didn't believe Kaylee was dead
mm-hmm.
either.
Here's the only thing I would say to that, Leonard, is this. If, you know, God bless them. If they can get EquiSearch out there, I asked for EquiSearch to come out there. There's 4 land searches that need to be done and 2 water searches. One primarily Guns Creek Bridge where Ronald throws all his dirt off of. And he even told me in an interview, he goes, yeah, when I've done stuff, my shoes went off there, this went off there. And, I mean, it's common knowledge. People in that town know. So I asked for side scanning radar on the 4th day. Now, however, they got Tim back out there, and, of course, last week's show, I was defending Sheriff Hardy because allegedly someone had said that Hardy ran Timmy off. Well, Hardy said he didn't do it, so I said, Hardy's never lied to me, and, you know, I don't figure he did run him off. So if he did or didn't run him off or whatever, how in the hell are they getting back in there? Because
actually,
they're on private property.
Actually, I did some research on this, and I've temporarily lost TJ because he's mobile and driving.
battery.
Yeah, he needs a new battery. That's one of those ongoing jokes on this show. Here's the deal. I can find absolutely no proof whatsoever that law enforcement told Tim Miller to leave. But it was widely reported in the mainstream media. Where did the story come from?
Well, let me see if I can say something. There are these situations where situations change from minute to minute. I was involved with Tim when he was basically upset at me at the thought that I was going to go having some divers into the little econ on the Kaylee Anthony situation, when it was his girlfriend, Lisa, that gave us the lead that was an important place to search. Now, Tim says, well, I'd already searched with side scan radar. Well, you can talk to my partner, Rob, who will tell you this. That morning that we were out there, they didn't decide to come out there with that boat until they found out that we were out there, and then they made some what looked like 25-mile-an-hour passes up and down the river, but it was strictly a media thing, which doesn't bother me because if you get media attention, you're going to get people out there and you're going to have a better idea as to what's going on. Maybe somebody will remember something.
Mm-hmm.
There was other things that happened for about a 48-hour period there that brought the wrath of John Allen upon me and Tim Miller and Najami and several other people. I can withstand that kind of stuff. It does not bother me. The important thing was, because of the cross that had been seen on the tree by the playground on August the 27th, that area had been searched. Now, to this day, no one has come up and said, I put the cross up on that tree. two different people have pictures of it. Lisa, which is Tim Miller's girlfriend, and another young lady that turned it into one of the local channels. They have that cross. That led us there. The fact that other people didn't take that as an important situation or didn't place any emphasis on it was simply because Tracy, the young lady that I had living with Casey, had seen the same kind of beads in Casey's room. So I can't fault the people for not placing importance on it. The only reason we did is because it was the same kind of beads on that cross that had been seen in the room. Subsequent, when the body was found and there were searches done on the room, I asked Nick Savage, the FBI agent, did you find any beads like that in that room? He says, we found beads galore, but none exactly like those.
Right.
That particular box of beads was missing.
Leonard.
Getting back
Leonard,
to Tim.
You said Lisa was name of his. Does she go by any other name? Do you know of Barbara Johnson? Somebody told me he was dating a girl named Barbara Johnson. Is there any truth to that?
Well, you know, there are several people that have contacted me and said I was Tim Miller's wife, I was his girlfriend, I was this, I was that. You know, I've never really paid a lot of attention or emphasis on it because it's the same old thing. Somebody's upset at somebody and they'll call you for something that happened 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But I know that this Lisa, and that's all I know her by,
right,
had a picture in her phone that she showed Tracy and Rob, and when they saw it, Tracy says, oh, my God, those are the same identical beads. Now, we went one step further. We actually dug up around the soft dirt of the tree where the cross had hung,
right,
and found two beads there.
Right.
That
I
were
thought it was a ritual when I saw it myself.
Well, it's a situation where if you put these things together, to us they meant something.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I got to tell you this. When John Allen, the sergeant, came out there and he started screaming and hollering at me before he was even 1 foot out of the car, I thought it strange at the time. I thought, how can
why
this be?
Why is he mad? Yeah.
Why is he mad? Mm-hmm. We're just another search team doing our own thing.
Yeah.
Why is he upset?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it took some discussions afterwards, and if you go to the Nancy Grace show of December the 9th, I made this statement. Local law enforcement and the FBI know where the body's at,
ooh,
and in 2 days, they will come forward with it.
Uh-oh.
And on the 11th, the body was found as a result of Kronk, whose girlfriend works at the jail.
Right. Right.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history. Well, at least you got a better reach around than I did, because, by God, I did something up there to pee those boys off, and I ended up getting my ass thrown in jail, as of course you know. And I'm wondering if Timmy was run out of town, or which I don't believe he was, but now that he said he was and falsely accused the sheriff of that, which I believe that to be the truth, now how in the hell is he going to come back in there without creating a bunch of ruckus? But if he does, God bless him, but I want him in that Dunn's Creek, serious in that Dunn's Creek Bridge, serious.
Well, no, here's the question I have. You know, at some point, they're going to have to fess up exactly why Equisearch left the first time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And why didn't they do Dunn's Creek Bridge the first time? Because it was common knowledge that's where Ronald throws all his dirt.
There's to get the answer to that without having to ask Tim, there's a couple of people, Mandy, who worked with Tim for many, many years, and the other gentleman that they've tried their, they've started their own Triple View rescue search operation.
He better bring his own team when he comes, Padilla, because if he tries to get any local support up there, I'm going to tell you one thing. I would say no. Just tell him to bring his own staff, and hopefully he's got everybody's blessing, because there are four areas that need to be searched on land, and there's two water searches, two very simple water searches. I already figure that he could be in and out of there in a week's time. It's not a long, drawn-out thing, unless, of course, they have other search areas already scanned out and marked out. But nobody has let me get a search team in there, and I've called EquiSearch 20 times. I even spoke to Mr. Nijame way on off while he was trying to get hooked up with him. So I don't know if Mr. Nijame, Mr. Tim knows what they're fixing to get involved in. But it's
I think Mark Najami is bright enough and cagey enough to know what he's doing and how he's going to do it. And obviously, Tim needs to resurrect his search operation because of some, and I'm going to be very candid about it, some issues that he created for himself in other areas, like North Carolina and other places where he was scheduled to appear and didn't. And I think what they're attempting to do right now is resurrect some of the notoriety that he had prior to the Kaylee Anthony situation and get it right.
I think Tim Miller left early because of the way he was treated in the Kaylee Anthony case. He got tired of it. There's other states that don't treat him like that. They just treated him awful down there, Cindy and all
I think
stuff.
The bottom line is he ran out of money, truthfully, when sheriff's office stopped supporting it. I mean, it costs money to have folks out there. I mean,
Nancy
really
Grace brought $100,000 in for him.
Who
yeah.
did?
Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace.
Oh,
she caused $100,000 in money to be sent to Tim Miller's operation.
Yeah.
And this can be verified through Mandy, who used to work for him. And when there was some accounting problems, she quit.
Well, I was wondering, Leonard, you've been through this thing, and it's first time for me. I went through $50,000, come all the way back. It looked like I was coming out of the hole, and then they took away my way to make money, which is catching felons running around. So now I've got a knife to my throat for about $35,000 again, and I've done everything I know, filed for solicitation papers and done all that stuff. And I need somebody like Nancy Grace to holler up and say, hey,
Why don't you ask her to be on there?
Pardon me?
If you contact their people, they'd probably put you on there. The situation is that's different between me and sometimes other people is that I'm not a, you know, 501(c) or nonprofit or anything like that. I pay for everything out of my pocket, and I absolutely refuse to take any money. There was a lady that offered me a $2,000 check back there, and I refused it. I said, give it to Tim, and she didn't want it to give it to Tim for some reason. And I received checks here in Sacramento that I sent every one of them back.
Well, brother, you send them over to Cobra because I do take their money, but listen, when I'm working, I don't need their money. You know what I mean? I'm like you. I don't need it.
Well, when I went back to Florida, you have to understand, we had a couple of fugitives, two of them that we picked up out of North Carolina, one that we picked up out of Ocala.
Yeah,
so,
funded you. Yep.
It helps the funding of the situation.
Yeah. Well, they took away my funding, brother. They got me on a felony bond for some crap where, you know, me and the insurance companies are spatting back and forth, and they took a civil issue, made a criminal to teach me a lesson, and I fixed it. I ask everybody that gave me money or will give me money, I'll pay them back. I'll pay them back as sure as I get up out of this drama because, you know, we just like them two, we caught up in Jersey the other night. That's a good little piece of change coming, and I appreciate you helping on that and stuff.
Well, one of the things that will happen, and I learned it a long time ago, more important to a lot of people than money is the media.
Yeah.
If you walk into a situation where you're picking up media and somebody else thinks they should be getting that share of the media, they're going to throw whatever they can in your direction and create a problem for you. I've been around the media, and that's why a lot of people say, Padilla's just a media whore. Well, I've been around it long enough to know basically how to handle it, how to deal with it, because if you don't know how to handle it, how to deal with it, you can get somebody that's jealous, and they'll throw some stuff at you, and the next thing is you got a guy like Sergeant Allen coming out there and telling you to get in the front seat of his car.
I think the
police think we want to solve this case. We don't, you know, if somebody else would solve it by accident, you know, their pride.
If somebody solves it by accident, I don't care. I wanted somebody to solve
it. Yeah, right. I know.
So I could get out there because Pastor Grun asked me to go up there, and I was like, phew. Then he said, okay, you can leave. I said, well, I can't leave right now. I'm right in the middle of something. And then the next thing I know, I can't never leave this case. This case will be with me the same as Kaylee will be with Leonard for the rest of his life. I mean, no matter what we've been through, and Leonard's been in this game since 75. And I've been in since 77. He's the godfather. And all of us, me, Dog, the rest of us, we watching him, and we need to watch you a little closer, man.
it's like right now. Everybody in the media, CNN, Nancy Grace, everybody has said, are you going to be in Orlando on Friday? Because that's the hearing to stop our statements to law enforcement or stop us from testifying on behalf of the law enforcement because they've subpoenaed all of us.
Right.
Well, I don't know. As of right now, as I sit here, I don't know because I have to weigh the options.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have to definitely weigh the options of either being there and just soaking up a whole lot of media and upsetting somebody because they're not getting the share of the media.
Right, right.
So those are things that you have to take into consideration. I mean, it's no accident that Mark Najami and Tim Miller, boom, Monday they decide to come back into the Haley Anthony the Haley situation. That's no accident.
Yeah.
That's posturing.
Well,
they hope to tie up the media for the rest of the week.
And I suspect they probably will. Okay, folks, we have lots of open phone lines. Give us a call. This is one of those rare opportunities where you can talk to the folks that actually have the answers. Our number is 646-378-1120. Okay, we may not have all the answers,
but damn, it's an interesting
panel.
They always said, hey, we ain't them guys, but we'll do until they get here.
Okay.
I always like what Johnny Cash said, it ain't me, babe.
It ain't me, ma'am. That's right. that was the only thing I missed out of Putnam County was August 3rd when I wanted to stand before the judge and say, not guilty. Boy, and I said, no, I better not do that. I better just mind my manners where I'm at because I'll tell you what, you want to tune into a circus, this is going to be the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life. They charged me guilty of a state statute and added words to the damn thing, but I looked in the state statute for it, and there ain't no such words in there. I'm like, what?
Well, I sat in the back seat of a car with the guy that I went to pick up in Tacoma one time, and after 3 hours, he was sitting there. We were both cuffed, and the cops were trying to figure out what to do, and he's saying, hey, they're going to cut me loose, and you're going to go to jail. And I says, I don't care if I go to jail as long as they don't cut you loose.
Right.
And eventually they got it out, straightened out. But I've been there a lot of times.
Yeah, well, this was the first time, brother man, that I ever got put behind bars. First, and I was 52, and I said, man, I did my mama proud. She would probably figured, you know, other kids was running off doing knuckle stuff, and I was catching the bad guys and keeping it quiet for many years. Even my stepdad said, oh, he's lying. He can't do that stuff. You got to be a U.S. Marshal to do that.
Well,
I said, look at that Padilla feller. He ain't no U.S. Marshal.
In 91, I spent the night in jail in Bern, Switzerland, in the cell next to the guy that I went to pick up.
No shit.
The next day, they put me on an airplane to New York and him on an airplane to Iran.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes like that. I mean, we've been
doing
some crazy shit. I didn't think we'd end up like this in this media crap shootout here. And all I want to do is just get done with it and go on. They already know what's going on. That's why they took a hard stance the way they did. They already know. Somebody said, I guess Art Harris reported that the law enforcement, according to his sources, and I don't want to misquote him, but that's the general take I get, that they were kind of sitting back and letting the families go ahead and show the guilt. And I said, that can't be true. I don't think anybody's sitting back waiting on anything. It's just they already know it's just damn difficult to put these little pieces together. And once they do, they want a slam dunk case. They don't want to be, you know, charging folks on little shit when they can get them for the big piece of pie.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We have someone coming in from the 828 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, Simon. My name is Diana. Hi, Leonard. Hi, Cobra. Huge,
hey,
huge followers. Having family in law enforcement, I know that when Texas EquiSearch goes in, it's my understanding that law enforcement does not do anything to help them, correct?
That's not true, no. I've seen EquiSearch go in, and law enforcement will provide assets and manpower to give them a hand.
Yeah.
Okay, but
in Orlando, they even gave them, I think it was $5,000 or something.
You're right,
cash.
You're right, yep.
Okay, but are they allowed to actually work side by side with law enforcement, or would EquiSearch have to be like their own little entity searching their own little areas?
Either way, they could go either way.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. Well, in the case,
what I'm saying is law enforcement, these four land searches that we've already highlighted and marked out, law enforcement is going to have to be involved because we're talking about private land. Now, the water searches, if they can find a public boat ramp to jump in, they're good to go. But if they start causing a bunch of ruckus, I would just say they're probably going to have the support of law enforcement. But the first thing he's going to have to overcome is they lied on the sheriff. Somebody told a lie about the sheriff. The sheriff said he didn't say it, and that's going to have to be cleared up because, you know, that's just going to cause more problems.
Well, that was my next question.
Why is the Cummins family, we is all looking for a live child, and EquiSearch looks for dead bodies. Now, I'm glad they're coming. Don't get me wrong.
Correct.
But why would they throw it in and suggest that? Because Equisearch didn't come up with this idea themselves. Neither did Mr. Nijames. They were requested. TJ, are you still out there? I think.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
TJ just called back in. He's recharged his battery.
Good. TJ, didn't Neves get behind that? Is that family behind that search?
Behind this search, I'm only reporting the family members. In the article, I don't have my notes in front of me here.
Can you specify which family?
Right now, without my notes in front of me, I don't want to do that and be, you know, telling lies. So,
yeah.
Or telling an untruth. I'm not around a computer right now at this point. Then I can't really remember it offhand.
Jan, fire off on that thing one time, because that's very, 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 very critical and important to the case.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
I just wish that my memory worked a little bit better, but it's a tricky thing.
Yeah.
Further past 50 you get, the more slippage comes into play.
Hey, be careful now. We got the Godfather on the channel. Right? He might be insulting him.
Wait. You're insulting me as well. No, I'm just kidding.
Simon, is that your 69-year-old girlfriend?
Uh-huh.
No.
Hey, wasn't it Neves who wanted the cadaver dogs to search that one area?
Yes, ma'am.
No.
See, and
yeah.
Now...
Yeah, it was. You're right, it was.
Green trailer.
It's possible now that they're requesting the Equisearch?
Well, understand one thing. In Equisearch and cadaver dogs and things of that nature, it's like Bill will tell you, when we look for a fugitive, a lot of times we look in places. We don't figure he's there, but we look there to eliminate it as a possibility.
Right.
And the more possibilities you eliminate, the more you become sure of where he's at. And cadaver dogs and Equisearch can totally eliminate an area beyond a common individual searching it.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, they're bringing them in to lay to rest that the child is deceased.
Right.
That's very plausible, because that's pretty much what happened up there in Baker County as well when that search took place at the Griffiths family farm.
Well, just to eliminate the possibility.
Hey.
Yeah,
to
eliminate.
So long. Well, I tried to get that done on the fourth day once we had the new search areas marked and everything else was done. And then they said, I talked to Equisearch, and you said you got to get the police because they wasn't too cool last time we were there, according to Tim. And I tried to get a hold of Tim, and then I heard it back through the news the other way. So, damn it, man.
There was no money. When Tim was first in there, there was no money available.
I got you.
There was no money available.
There you go.
I was approached by Mandy and the other fellow there, and I said, no, I'm not going to fund any of this. And at the time, I had put out a reward for the child's return alive.
Right.
But I wasn't going to fund any Equisearch, you know, and I think Tim got upset about that.
There was no funding available. You know, that'd be hypocritical. You wouldn't go bet on a red marker and a black marker.
No.
Oh, okay, let's go to the phones. We have someone coming in from the 541 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, my name is Elizabeth, and I listen to your show all the time, and I think it's great you guys keep Haley in the news.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask on Mark Nijames, what is the history in him?
Mark,
oh, we don't have a long time, ma'am.
Mark's got a beautiful wife from San Antonio that I got a big crush on, and he don't dare leave us alone by ourselves.
My history with Mark.
That's my history with Mark.
I heard that there's with the Anthony case that there was some funds that were misappropriated?
No. What happened is everybody was running around saying that somebody had made money off the Anthony situation. He had received $5,000, which he subsequently donated to some fund. I can't remember which one it was. He also was involved in providing $12,500 on behalf of some individual runs some kind of a questionable site. And that $12,500 was donated back in November to the Tim Miller people. And there's always going to be criticism on, well, you know, he took money from a questionable website or whatever. and donated it to the search. Well, who cares where the money came from if it produces results?
Exactly.
The $5,000.
Who sends me the money? It could be Denny and your mobster buddies. I'll gladly take it. As long as they don't have blood dripping off of it, send it to me. But I'll tell you, if somebody starts to get sideways with Mr. Nijame, like they did me, they're going to find out that $50,000, he can drop that each week. So
yeah. No, here's the thing, and the $5,000 that people were, it came up as a result that he made the statement he'd never made no money off of it.
Yeah.
And I said, what about that $5,000? And he immediately, the following week, donated it to something. I can't remember what it was. And I told him that was
Stand
a smart
guy,
move for
it. He's got plenty of money, man.
Didn't he?
Your question.
Isn't that the $5,000 he gave to Kronk?
It doesn't matter.
There you go. That's it. That's it. Yeah, he gave it to
Kronk.
That's
what it was. He gave it to Kronk as his
yeah.
reward for discovering
Haley's phone.
You got
it. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like if somebody had information about the disappearance of Haley and they wish to remain anonymous, then how would it work for, like, the reward money to get to that person?
Me or Padilla One would take care of that. And
I'd rather not get involved. I'd rather you went direct to the sheriff and dealt with him because they will keep it anonymous, or the FBI, Missing Person Exploited Children out of Washington, D.C.,
right,
Nick Savage,
like
we'll keep it confidential.
Kronk tried to keep it confidential.
Yeah.
And he got smeared.
Well, no. Wait a minute. Time out. Let me give you a better story on the situation with Kronk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Kronk, on the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th of August, made phone calls regarding what he thought was a body. Now, you have to go back and listen to the tapes.
That's true.
Clearly.
Yep.
And read the transcripts clearly. Okay.
Yep. Got a copy.
Comes forward to December the 11th, and they find the body, okay?
Right.
They find the remains. The remains weren't identified for another 9 days, but that's neither here nor there. He then goes before the media, and did you notice when he went before the media that he had a 3-page prepared statement?
Yes.
Oh, uh-huh.
Now, Kronk was not out there by himself on any of those days. There was a meter reader by the name of David Dean, and I can't remember the other fellow's name. There was 3 meter readers out there.
Right. And the
David Dean is the fellow that picked up, remember the Kronk mentioned a snake?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
David Dean picked up the
snake
and took it home, put it in his freezer, which the FBI now has.
Right.
$20,000 snake.
Probably, if not more.
Well, they took a picture.
They took a picture, yeah, and so. But
yeah.
Anyhow, you have to understand it. Kronk was out there. And then you say to yourself, how can he be so sure there was something there, and yet he can't find it? Kronk was in the bail bond business in Tennessee for about 13 years with a girlfriend he lived with and her brother. He was also a repo man in Kingsport, Tennessee, 13, 14 years. I mean, Bill will tell you, when we in the industry get a lead on something, we don't go home. He went home on the 11th, he went home on the 12th, and he went home on the 13th. And then he didn't do anything again until the 11th of December.
Right.
In the meantime, a week before Thanksgiving, his parents, who live in Palm Beach, went to visit him in St. Cloud, and the discussion came up, and he says, I know where the body's at. And his mom says, how do you know that, son? He says, my girlfriend told me. Well, why haven't you gone and gotten it? Or he says, there's too much water, which is true. A week before Thanksgiving, where the body was under 3 foot of water, because even Tim almost lost one of those little four-wheelers out there.
He did for a day or two.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Here you have a situation that is questionable. Now, a lot of people, they say, okay, Padilla, where'd you get all this information? From his son. He bragged to his son about it. He bragged to his sister Susan, and he bragged to his ex-wife about it. And his
parents. As far as the reward money, though, there was an issue because he didn't call the tip line that he wouldn't get the reward. And then he got the $5,000 from
Najami.
I thought the reward money expired for Kaylee, didn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yes.
It expired, yeah. And then Najami gave it to him out of
goodwill. Yeah, the $5,000 he gave him. But here's the thing. What if somewhere down the road it comes out that when Casey Anthony was talking to her attorney in the jail, a jailer overheard the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Now, the jailer, what's he going to do? He can't do anything with that information.
I think you said she. It should be, what's she going to do?
Well, here's the thing. Somehow the information gets to Kronk's girlfriend, who works at the jail. She's the warden's exec or something.
Oh.
No, Nobody in law enforcement can come out and say, we know where the body's at.
Right.
Because then the next question is going to be, how did you know? How did you find out? Mm-hmm. It tears up a bunch of the case. It destroys a lot of the case.
Yeah.
So they got to get somebody to find the body.
Right.
That can do it.
See, that's what I thought at first, because it all kind of
like,
played.
Bill and me to do the heavy lifting, the dirty work, and because here's exactly what happened. That would be called a breach of confidentiality between a client and her attorney to be overheard in a room that was supposedly secure.
Okay, I need to break in here. I have a question coming in through the chat room. TJ, are you still with us? Your battery's
yeah, barely.
Good?
Barely.
Still here.
You're right. I'm not sure. I like the question, but I will ask it anyway.
Sure, I'll do it again.
It must be bad for you, TJ.
Boo!
Is it true that the Sheffields have kidnapped family kids before this?
The Sheffields?
Susie.
I wouldn't say the Sheffields. I would say that
well,
there was a. I would say.
I'm sorry.
Am I talking or not?
Yeah, you're talking. Someone else is
okay.
Talking. Stop it.
All righty. There has been stories about the children kind of being moved from family home to family home. Not necessarily on the Sheffields side, but I do believe it had something to do, if I read correctly, something to do previously with Crystal's fiance.
Yes.
And I'm going to have to do some fact checking on that.
I can help you on there I got my notes in front of me.
Yeah, I don't. And that's why I'm being a little cautious here today because
right, well,
I'm really flying blind.
Simon, would you like me to read from my notes here?
Sure. And I'd like to point out to another caller coming in from the 352 area code. I'll bring you on air as soon as you turn your computer speakers down. You're creating a real big echo.
Yes.
Okay, Cobra, continue.
Well, here's the thing. I received a lead from a person close to the case that said that I needed to check out this Roxanne girl who happened to be Mr. Chad's ex. And there was a child custody issue, and a child come up missing. And this child was passed from family member to family member, and the police would be looking for the child. It didn't make national news or anything like that, but as my understanding, it went 8 to 12 months before the child resurfaced, being passed from family member to family member, and this was on Chad. This was having to do with Chad and his ex-wife. Now, this was passed to law enforcement, and law enforcement did follow up on it, but as TJ will tell you, once we find out what we find out and send it to law enforcement, from there it falls into a black hole. There is no response back as to, you know, what the investigation entails or whatever.
And what will happen is they will say we cannot comment on an ongoing investigation.
Right.
In that statement.
So, Chad is Marie Griffith's stepson, right?
No, let's see. Yeah, I guess it would be stepson.
And he is engaged.
Yeah.
He's engaged to Crystal, correct?
Pardon me?
And he's the one who is engaged to Crystal, right?
They're stepbrother and stepsister
by law.
Yeah.
They're engaged.
Yes. Just wanted to make sure.
All right.
I have a question. If a family member took Haley and they were passing him family to family, and say one of the family members was a woman and she went to a woman's shelter for, like, under the guise of being abused.
Mm-hmm.
What are the legal things that the shelter itself and people who are staying at the shelter have to follow? I mean,
unless someone recognizes
it?
This child to be that of Haley Cummings, nothing is going to happen because of confidentiality. But, you know, in the same guise of that, the same thing happens if you go to an Indian reservation. unless someone there has reason to believe that this is the girl. And that's also part two to the Sheffield side, since they said, hey, these people are part Indian and they probably own a reservation. Here, I'll go back to what I said earlier in case you didn't hear it. Logical reasoning says that Misty would have had a better story, and she would be down there every day at every beckon and call from law enforcement to solve this case, to take the suspicion off of her. She doesn't believe herself. Why should we? And I think now we're going to focus right back around to her and the craziness that's going on in that family.
Mm-hmm.
Period and simple. And just
she wasn't home.
Somewhere you got to start, and once you rule them out, they're out. That, you know, you can't have everybody in suspicion for 6 months. People have to be cleared, and they're cleared. That's clear, that's clear, this one's not clear yet. And then you go through the check based on that. And that's the only problem with keeping everybody in suspicion the whole daggum time.
So
okay,
they were in a shelter. The person who runs that shelter, would they be under any legal problem as far as reporting it?
That person gave the name Haley Cummings, that they known to be a kidnapped child or identified that child, if it went in under Pereira Carreras, they have absolutely no, do not contact nobody.
Okay, let's take another call. Someone coming in from 352, and it's not TJ because he just fell off the end of the world again. 352?
Hello?
Hello,
hi.
You're on the air. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Okay, my name is Becky, and I'm calling from Ocala, Florida, and I've been emailing TJ. I'm the crazy grandma that emails him all the time. I was just wondering, Ron Cummins' mother, is she an employee of the Putnam County Sheriff's Department?
No, she was an employee of the next county over, which is Flagler County, and I believe she was a 911 dispatch officer.
Correct, she was dispatch worker, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I appreciate what you are doing. I mean, I've never seen people that care so much about this case. And there are so many people that, I tell you what, it's everybody just wants to get this girl home.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So anyway, I don't think I've ever prayed so much in my whole life from morning to night.
Grandma,
but anyway.
Too, that's what I said. Grandma,
God bless you.
Listen, pray. All
TJ, you are just wonderful people, and I get up in the morning, I get on my computer, and I pray, and I'm going to let some balloons off. Some friends are going to do that in Crystal River tomorrow. I keep my kids, my grandkids, and we're going to go out and release some balloons, and, you know, golly.
Very good.
I hope we can resolve this thing.
God bless
one
you.
One thing, somebody's going to answer to it one day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I believe it's going to be while we're watching, too.
That judgment seat's a calling them.
Thank you all so much for keeping us informed on all this.
Yes,
you're great people, I'm telling you.
Thank you.
Very greatly
God
appreciated.
God bless you.
Okay, thanks.
Time and all you got to do
thanks
is monitor that 10,000 times and put it out there, man, and let the rest of them know, hey, we is good people. We is looking for a child, for God's sakes.
y'all are good people. Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Very welcome. Look, let's go to area code 309. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
This is Catfish calling from Illinois.
Catfish!
Hello. Hey, I have read several places recently that their FDLE has assigned an agent to work full-time on this case. And just mentioning it on the message board, there were several different kind of comments that it's not true, it is true, he's been on it all of the time. Has anybody heard?
The first guy and the guy that I met and the guy that I know that's been on it all the time, and I don't think he's been pulled off, is Travis Smith. And Travis has been on the thing from day one, and that is their guy for FDLE. In fact, when they mentioned that they're sharing office over there in Putnam County with Captain Dominic Piscatello, I believe that's the gentleman they're referring to. Now, they might have brought somebody else in as well, but I'm sure that Mr. Travis is still up in there, up in the middle of that thing. Yeah.
The name that I heard was Jason...
I heard the Jason Feller name. He supposedly came out of Orlando, from what I know. Padilla, you might know this gentleman.
The FBI guy that's on the case is a fellow by the name of Scott. And the case, I believe, was transferred to the Missing Children, Exploited Children Center in Washington, where Nick Savage, that was involved in the Casey Anthony case, is now working.
Good, because Nick Savage, I understand there was some issues there with this Dominic Casey feller. And this Dominic Casey feller, I don't know if you know or not, but that's what got law enforcement ticked off at me for tampering with evidence, according to Dominic Casey and everything else. He's run amok over there, and I hope Nick gets his ass.
Well, when the thing about that taping that came up after the body had been found,
yeah,
when they came, that came up, there was a lot of discussion by Dominic Casey that I was lying, that I didn't know what I was talking about, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I had turned the statement over to Nick Savage. At first, he thought I was kidding. He said, no, I can't believe it. I said, well, go ask Hoover. Let's see what he says. And he
That's
did,
right.
because I'd seen the tape. Hoover had showed it to me.
Yeah.
And he went and talked to Hoover, and Hoover says, yeah, I got it. And finally, Hoover turned everything over to Nick Savage, much like when I told him that David Dean had the snake in his freezer at home. He says, you don't expect me to go knock on his door and ask him for a dead rattler that he's got in his freezer. I said, I certainly do. You're an FBI agent. Why not?
That's right, my God.
Yeah, and when him and Orange County went over there, David Dean said, yeah, I got the snake here.
Well, I reached out to Nick, and I've got some other folks reaching out to him. I hope he does involve himself in this case, because just like in Orlando, where you had a couple of the ones wearing a uniform ended up getting in some trouble, you got a couple of them up there that's going to have some problems too. That's why I've been waiting for somebody like that to step in there.
There's a major meeting, major convention, over 3,000 people that get involved in missing people situation, missing children. The convention takes place this weekend in Dallas, Texas.
Cool.
And one of the major issues that's being discussed is there somewhat, even if it's an informal chain of command, but we've got to structure something to be able to deal with the public and their information rather than just, not recognizing them as a vital source of information.
Right.
Well, it'd be
well
nice
that's
to
what
know
I said
there was
before. There
were
two approaches to this case. One was keeping everything close and seeing what pops off. That works for a while, and then, of course, I alluded to the case where you're on there, Padilla, where they took a shotgun approach, and went, things happened a little bit quicker, I believe, because of the media involvement, and pressure breaks pipes. That's what I always said. Put the pressure on, and the media is the pressure.
The media is the pressure in these cases,
right. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But they scared the pressure up there. In fact, they got pissed at me because when I brought Kim Boccaccio to town, I noticed the media had left. Everything had left. So I asked Kim, I said, Kim, I'm going to make you some money. Come up here, go on Nancy Grace and raise all kinds of hell, and you've done lost one kid. They done lost one kid. We don't want to lose the other kid, so get up in there. And it brought media back, but then it pissed off everybody else that we brought media back. So nothing happened. Media's gone away now, and media's scared to death of this thing because of the unsavoriness of both sides of the family. They don't even find anybody credible they can even talk to. Or, Simon, you have the direct words for that, why media isn't in there.
Well, I mean, I personally think the mainstream media sucks.
Well, I wasn't going to say that now. I thought we were going to cast the characters and it was dangerous, but I wasn't going to say that the media sucked. Oh, damn.
No.
I second that notion.
Oh, my God. Is that Pickles?
Yes, that's Pickles.
You're a troublemaker. Don't cuss out the press if you want to get the press back over there. I mean, I've learned that.
No, I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like the fact that there's a missing girl who may well be alive, and the mainstream media would prefer to dwell on someone that's dead, Michael Jackson.
MJ? Was it MJ?
Yeah, I mean, okay, he's dead. I didn't much care for his music, but that's got nothing to do with it.
You're a Beatles fan.
Why dedicate hundreds and hundreds of hours to
paying a dollar
MJ rather than trying to find a missing child?
Ratings. Dead ratings.
Ratings is the name of the game.
Ratings is the operative word. Yep.
All right.
I'll tell you what, if they could get up there on this Haley and get after it and really search into a lot of things that's been popping off. Hell, I'm sitting out here on a felony bond, can't even catch fugitives, and fugitives running amok, and more kids is missing and shit. And everybody seemed to be taken out of the play and this, that, and the other. No media, and let's just be quiet and see what pops off. Bullshit. Pressure breaks pipes. You got to put the pressure on these folks, man.
Okay. I'm going to take a couple of questions from the chat room. Unfortunately, we've lost TJ. He's probably in a dead zone as he drives around Florida. Is it true about there being a RAV4x4 with Tennessee tags being spotted in Satsuma?
That was
Cousin Joe.
I think that belonged to that kid. What was his name?
You thinking about?
He did say Tennessee plates.
Joe Overstreet? No, he's in jail in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Last I heard.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're going to move on to another favorite question that people are going, yeah, ask that. There's a listener who wants to know why Leonard doesn't want to get involved in the Haley Cummings case.
Well, he's got one manhunter on the ground in jail. He don't lose his damn license. What the hell? That's a stupid question. Give us another one.
No, here's
yeah.
the thing.
Tell him, Cobra.
When we were back there after the memorial for Kaylee Anthony, we went up there for 3 days. We spent 3 days there. Our decision, there again, possibly correct or incorrect, was that there was a family feud going on, that there was a tremendous amount of resentment and bitterness, and that Misty was not in the trailer that night. Therefore, she was partying, and until she told the truth, possibly the truth would not come out. And furthermore, we believe that the child is up in Wisconsin with an aunt of one of the families.
Ronald's aunt?
Correct.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, they're on the same page. I figured either he did it for sympathy, or the other side of the family did it for protection, or Misty. By God, Misty, come up with it now.
Yeah.
It's called a recollection.
I don't know how Misty can say that. How long has she been taking care of Haley? Like, they're so close and everything. That'd be hard.
That isn't. Misty was in no shape.
On this radio station, I'm 52 years old. Did you think back when you was these little girls out here and little fellers? I mean, back then it wasn't bad. But this weekend is celebrated 40 years today since Woodstock popped off. Now, let me ask you a question. If you was out getting high for 3 days and four nights, mm-hmm. or 4 days and three nights, or whatever the hell the case may have been, and you running around and there's prostitution going on, there's all kinds of illicit sex, drugs, and rock and roll, I mean blaring, and you come back off of that dive, and you can't take the kid to school or get to a school bus, and that's
mm-hmm.
why Ronald got a haul ass, get this kid down to the school, and you kind of drowsing all day. You ain't about to hear no little child that ain't your child. I don't care how much you tell media
right.
that you love the kid. You probably throwed it against the wall and broke her neck or did something, and you damn jealous, crazy ass.
Yeah, right. Like she wanted to party like Kate, except it was a different thing.
Well, you
yeah.
know, Ron is partially responsible for allowing a person in
happen.
This condition to care for his children. Give me a break.
Right.
I mean, coming off of weed, coke, pills, and alcohol after 3 or 4 days, letting her, I mean, we as parents have a responsibility that if we can't be there for our children, we're to leave them with somebody who is competent to watch our children. And I don't give a rat's
yeah.
behind if Misty's listening. You are not competent to care for a child.
Right.
And his, Ron, like, he didn't know what Misty was into. Give me a break.
Well,
he cannot even play that off.
Yes, until Padilla came to town and got involved in that case down there in Orlando and things started popping off, they initially charged her with a felony charge of, like a cruelty animal, but
child
endangerment or some
yeah,
shit.
Child endangerment, yeah.
Yeah. Well, by God, $500,000 she can't run out and grab, and that would put her in jail long enough that somebody would be going, you know, especially, I mean, they after me little next to nothing, a child endangerment charge, she'd been in jail from day one. And by
right.
now, they'd have had this damn thing solved.
Okay. Seeing as we have two of the really big names in bounty hunting. Whoops.
The biggest, not two of the biggest.
The biggest, that's right.
Yeah, the two
you
biggest.
You got the Godfather and you got his son on the damn show. Now, it don't get no bigger than that. The two oldest ones damn near still active in the business out there. Most of them retire or get shot about 35.
Right.
I've lost 13 partners. And
this is my retirement plan is that I work up until the day I die. That way I don't have to sit around here and worry about Social Security and all that other stuff.
You ain't going to get none anyway, but that's exactly
right.
You work until
the day you die, and you don't have to worry about retirement plans.
Here you go.
But, I mean, you've both been burnt on missing children cases.
No. Don't say that. Here's the thing. I probably worked dozens and dozens of these, okay? There's no way you can get burnt, because when you go into these things, you know damn well what could happen.
Yeah.
So you can't be burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There is no way that I can be burnt in these, because I know exactly what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, and it's just like going back there on Friday. If I go back there on Friday and get arrested for some stupid thing, hey,
sure.
I didn't. Nobody forced me to buy that plane ticket.
That's right.
So those are situations, and the bill will tell you the same thing. You always run the risk, because law enforcement doesn't appreciate us.
Some don't. You can come down to Brown County, buddy. I'll tell you what, they will treat you like a king around here, brother.
Mm-hmm.
SID, the big boys, the big boys. Shit, we get in a car right out, man. Up there, you run the risk. Orlando, they got about half and half. There's some good guys, Nick Savage. Of course, he's the federal boys, but if he's in town, they pretty much treat you with real goodness up there.
No, we can't be burnt. We know what we're getting into.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't phrase that very well. I'll ask the question a different way. In the light of your experience with Casey or Kaylee Anthony,
mm-hmm.
and the experience with Haley Cummings so far, would either of you have taken a different approach in these cases?
Had I known then what I know now, yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of good you did.
They call me the crazy cobra. They've been saying, oh, shit, because if I'm going down anyway, well, may as well go ahead and make sure the rest of them go with you.
No, I really thought that the little girl was alive and it was a matter of getting her out of jail and she'd...
Well, he's such a liar. I mean, he told everybody,
If you didn't do what you did, Leonard, you wouldn't have found out what you did when you were in the house and stuff.
Leonard, the very first night that you took her out of jail and she was out there cooking you and your nephew.
No, she didn't cook for me. She cooked for my nephew, though.
Yeah, well, that very night, I would have said, listen, come on out the trailer. I need to talk to you. Well, I'm not talking to anybody. Well, get your damn flip-flops on, because
mm-hmm.
we're riding back to the jailhouse, period.
Well, what happened was that we didn't make that move,
mm-hmm.
and then a week later they came out with the remains in the trunk being, you know, human decomposition,
mm-hmm.
and 2 days later she's back in jail.
Yeah, yeah. I'd have been a little more strong-armed on it because they on a string. They out on a string. It's a continuation of the damn jail cell, and I make them know that right now. You know that.
Leonard, can I ask you, who originally contacted you in the Casey Anthony case?
There's a friend of mine in the media in New York, and when that first came into the public eye, we started talking about it, and he was talking to me, and then I called Jose and said, you know, you got this client, and I'm thinking of posting the bond for her. I said, but I don't want to do anything that would upset you or the family or even the client. I said, my nephew and half my family are bail agents. I'll get one of them. I'll pay the $50,000. He says, we won't be responsible for the $50,000. I said, no, not at all. And at the time, in talking to my media guy up in New York, he said, do you really? I said, yeah, I think the child's alive. Let's get her out. One thing's for sure, we'll know one way or the other.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how basically the whole conversation started. I had three or four conversations with Jose, and it was a go. A week later, she's out of jail, and she obviously... I mean, there are statements that she made, because Tracy lived with her for that whole 10-day period, and
that
Rob was with her every day. So there are statements that she made that the attorney does not want to come in.
Right.
During the trial, mm-hmm. I don't know how he's going to be able to... one of the main ones you have to understand is she says she turned a baby over at the Sawgrass Apartments.
Right.
When she got out of custody, she told us the baby was taken from her, at the Little Econ over at J. Blanchard
Park. Blanchard
Park,
yeah.
See, so there was two different stories she told.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they don't want us testifying.
Right.
Plus some other things that she did say to Tracy while she was in the room with her. And to this day, me and Rob have been on television. Tracy has not.
Right, right.
And that's the whole thing right there that Jose wants to prevent. And a good defense attorney would want to prevent that because there are things that came up that Tracy was privileged to, and he don't want her testifying about those things.
Right, right.
At the time of trial. There's not going to be a trial. I'll tell you how this thing's going to resolve itself. It's going to be deemed an illegal burial, and she's going to get a $500 fine.
She's going to what?
It's going to be deemed an illegal burial.
Illegal burial.
No permit.
Because she drowned it in the pool?
No, I don't think that. I think she suffocated her.
Because she drowned in the pool, Padilla?
She's got such a bad temper. You can see that by the way she talks.
Well, if y'all be quiet for a second, you just got your answer. Let's move on. Let's move on.
Here's the thing you got to understand. If you take a wet diaper with children's urine in it,
yep,
and mix it with pool clean, pool
yep.
sweep,
guess what you got?
Chloroform.
Thank you.
Gross.
Absolutely, all day, every day.
Okay,
and the ladder
wasn't
supposed to be up there, and George told us the truth right off the bat. Just wasn't nobody listening.
On that delightful note, let's take another caller. Someone coming in from the 904 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Yeah, this is Denise again from Jacksonville, and I have four questions.
Oh,
the
Lord,
first
Denise.
One, the first one being, does anyone know if Jeremiah was at the Cayley's Memorial?
I don't think so, ma'am.
Okay, next question.
I don't think so.
Okay, next question. Does anyone know if Grund knew Jeremiah previous?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Next question. Has Chad and Bruce Griffiths took lie detector tests?
Do one more time.
Chad and Bruce Griffiths, does anyone know if they've took lie detector tests?
I believe that Chad took his just a few weeks ago right after the search up there at the Sheffield's farm. I do believe that's what I was told to me by Marie Griffiths.
And does anyone know the results of that, whether he
passed? Oh, no.
Oh, hell no.
We still don't even know the results of any of the original ones taken, even though Misty and whatever the Nestar said that they passed.
They never released the results.
Yeah.
And they never tell you that you're cleared.
No, they never
exactly.
tell you
that you're innocent. They never tell you all the shit that they've been telling us that they tell us.
No. They never tell you that.
They never tell you that.
Yeah.
Every time they say, no, she passed.
If you're ever subjected to a lie detector test,
yeah.
you know you told the truth.
Right.
Do not take those things off, step up, and turn around and say, did I pass? You never ask that.
I'd rather cuss him out if he told lies. So you're the one lying. Your damn machine's broke or it's paid off.
Yeah, no, you never. You know you told the truth, and that's the
right.
end of it. You walk out.
That's right.
So go back to all the
TV interviews where they were asking them, did you pass? And they look at each other, and yes, he passed. Yeah, I passed, too.
No such thing.
Well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Bullshit.
I think one of the major...
I don't give a damn what that machine said. I told the truth. So whatever that machine said, don't make that machine be a liar.
That's right. That's why lie detector tests can be prevented from being admitted as evidence.
It's just a tool, baby.
Yeah.
So,
if you take a lie detector test and you look good on it, yeah, you want it as evidence, but the prosecutor's going to say no.
Right.
So after they had witnesses stating that Chad wasn't at home that night, Chad was seen at a gas station at 5 o'clock that morning. They just now gave him a lie detector test 2 weeks ago.
Well, I heard he was out with his boys partying all night, and he didn't mosey in till 9, and the reason being was they'd fixed to get married and all this crap, and they don't want the rest of the family, including Marie and everybody, to know that that's what really happened. But that private conversation went down in my ear sight. And I always been asking the question, too, where were you, Chad? And how come you're so camera shy, Chad? And ask TJ when he comes back on the line.
I'm
TJ will tell you the same.
TJ,
is that not ridiculous that he could, that he wasn't even at home that night, but yet Marie Griffiths says he was at home asleep? That
well,
Marie really didn't know.
She was told that, I guess, and then you know went to further. I don't know. I can't speak for them, but the family needs to get together on the same page. If one of them's going to say he ain't there, and the other one says I know he was, and confide in another family member who I talked to, then you're kind of defeating your damn purpose of your alibis.
I mean, isn't that an inconsistency?
All of everything that I've heard on this case is inconsistent.
Everything is an inconsistency, ma'am.
Oh, it's DJ. He's back.
Hey, DJ,
he's
buddy.
Found a new battery.
DJ.
Yes, there have been a lot of inconsistencies, and there have been a lot of things that don't quite add up, and there have been several different interpretations of the facts. Remember what I said earlier, five people could witness an accident in an intersection,
mm-hmm.
and if you ask those five people what they saw, you'd swear to God they never saw the same thing.
All right.
If I make you a wager, TJ, being you back on the line, you start hollering out on your radio station tomorrow morning, the Godfather on the other end there, Mr. Leonard, myself, and one law enforcement member, and I get to pick him, and we can solve this case in a week to 14 days. I'm telling you that right now. And we could solve the case, and we could have done it before now. We could do it. We know we can do it. There's a couple pieces that I need for my puzzle, and then it's done. And I'll tell you who did it. I probably could be able to tell you what the hell happened.
Well, you're probably right at par with law enforcement. They say that they have about one or two pieces, and that's all they need right now. They'll be damned if they can find it.
Well, see, the thing of it is you don't shut out your private sector boys that can do stuff. I mean, everybody.
No, I don't.
That Leonard
I don't shut them up.
Do a hell of a lot more shit than any of them could do and not violate anybody.
That's true. In fact, Captain Dick Shawlin, before he retired, when I asked him when you were coming into the picture,
mm-hmm.
I asked him, I said, is this a good thing or a bad thing? And he said, well, you know, for the most part, when private investigators or bondsmen come into the picture, they can do things that police can't do because they are governed by the Constitution of the United
mm-hmm.
States. You guys are bound by the Constitution, but only as civil people,
not as
law enforcement people.
Not true. Constitution has no control over me and Bill. We're private citizens. We can do
that's
no
what he said.
Private mm-hmm. citizen. Yeah.
And that's what he said. It's exactly
the cops
what he
can't.
Said.
The cops can't, without a warrant, usually do anything.
But you can go up and talk to anybody you want.
Absolutely,
it's up to
yes.
them whether they're going to answer you or not. That's how he told me.
Absolutely,
that's why I like him. They need more old school guys in there that ain't trying to be the sheriff. That's all
I've seen. He's old school guys in Chicago, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He said that you guys could go places and do things that they couldn't.
The commander-in-chief there and the rest of these yahoos that don't support the sheriff, he needs to get them up in North Carolina applying for new jobs.
Yeah.
I have two more questions now that TJ's back on the line.
Oh, shit.
TJ, what time did you arrive in Satsuma that day to start covering the story?
I didn't start there on that day. As a matter of fact, it came a day later because of different things that were happening. We were short-staffed at our radio station, and I was basically getting it over the telephone from, I do believe, I want to say Captain Rose or Major Rose, at that time, also Johnny Greenwood, and then later it became Captain Shawlin. But we were doing everything via telephone, and then we started heading over there, I think it was the next day or the day after, and then that's when the TV kicked in as well. We were doing both, but a lot of it, because we were short-staffed where we were, we had to do everything telephonically, and we have a very good working relationship all of our county law enforcement people. And that's how we were doing it. Even before the press conferences took place, we would ask, they would give us what they had. And then once, you know, everything started taking place, the tents were up, people were doing what they were doing. I was over there, I think, day two. But day one, I was in the thick of it over the telephone.
Okay, because I was wondering if you were there on the 10th, if you might know what time Crystal arrived. I know there's been 15 different times, so I won't even get into that. But last question. Why hasn't the Haleybug Foundation funds went to raising the reward? I know they were collecting all this money for searches, which none of them has been performed. So why hasn't the money went to the reward at this point?
That's a question for them and their attorneys to figure out and formulate an answer to, because that's a very good question. I will not answer for any entity. That's not my job. It's only to report. And they need to answer that question as it's been applied.
but we'll all agree.
Very
that
good
money,
way in that. Very
yeah,
good
like Friday. It's
the
Joe Friday.
Hasn't went to where it was
and
supposed
I'm just reporting nothing but the facts, ma'am. Nothing but the facts, ma'am.
Nothing but the facts, yeah.
Nothing but the facts. Just the facts, ma'am.
All right,
yeah.
Well, thank y'all for y'all's time. I appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You know, guys, don't give me into opinion here because you know where that goes. And I,
hey,
too early
hey,
in the day.
We're going to keep you off your damn Excedrins and your what
oh,
it, you it, call
it's
it,
not Excedrin that's his problem. It's the nitrates under
the nitrates,
his tongue.
Yeah, man. Take it easy, TJ. I love you,
all
right, thanks, guys. Have
yes,
a good day.
I'm going to remind our listeners one more time. We have about 10 minutes left on the show, and the number to call in is 646-378-1120. And we have a veritable pantheon of experts. We have Len Padilla. We have William Cobra Storbs and Ace Reporter T.J. Hart with us.
Where's Denny? Where's Denny, bro?
I don't. Maybe he bit the big one with the mobsters this week.
No, man, he about
getting fit with the new fedora.
Last I heard, he was out Padilla's way, checking up on the mob findings out there, and checking on a few things. Well, he might be snuck up on TJ by now.
Yeah.
Leonard, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
What should the next logical step be in trying to find a missing girl? She's been missing for 6 months.
Usually if a person, child's deceased, they find them in a shorter amount of time. And after one, obviously you've got the Casey Anthony situation, which didn't work that way. Kaylee Anthony. In this particular one, what I would like to see taken is the relatives, the family trees, connect
mm-hmm.
the dots. Here's the one thing that everybody has to realize. 800,000 people go missing, children, adults, every year in the United States. Now, most
mm-hmm.
of them turn up. The dollar amount that is required to chase something like this to ground, to chase a live child, is millions of dollars. Usually people in law enforcement are not willing to give up their security, their pay, their medical, their leave and all that in order to fund these things. So if they don't get funded publicly, it doesn't usually take and create a big scenario. A $35,000 reward is something that people will say, well, yeah, that's a pretty good sizable reward.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people have been involved in situations where the rewards are just in the newspaper with and they have all of these details that you have to comply with that people sometimes don't take them serious. What does work, believe it or not, and I keep coming back to this, is the media just banging away every night at it.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl missing in Tracy, the media was out here on the West Coast every night, every
bang,
night,
bang,
every night.
Bang.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The little boy
how
up in Idaho.
Catch somebody,
yep.
Leonard? How do you
yeah.
catch them? Pressure. Keep
yeah.
applying it.
You know, as far as fugitives, that's a whole different ball game there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But children that turn up missing, children that turn up missing, on this particular case, I would suggest law enforcement take a strong hand on the relatives.
All right.
And I think Bill's got the right idea. You know, come on, Misty. Tell us what the
right.
truth is.
Mm-hmm.
She knows something.
Yeah, they could arrest her.
Yeah.
They could arrest her on suspicion that she wasn't doing her job that night as she was supposed to be, which was watching those
child
kids. She was out partying.
Yep, criminal child abuse, criminal child neglect, any of those should be able to be hammered in there some kind of way.
Are they afraid they'll get sued or something? Or?
Well,
they
law enforcement doesn't
not.
Want to take
they're
any...
They're overlooking
any...
a statue with me, and they're not giving a damn about getting sued about anything, so apparently not.
Hey, Cobra.
Well, I'd say no, they're not.
Cobra, you might be just the man to answer this question came in from the chat room.
Watch this.
Does,
1Cobra7 at bellsouth.net. That's my PayPal account.
1Cobra7.
You have to pay for answers because it's like Leonard said, it costs millions of dollars to hunt for kids. It costs me, hell, I'll tell you what, lost wages and everything, I'll bet you my total with lawyer fees now, shit, I'm probably 100 freaking grand, buddy.
Okay. Does John Reagan have a lawyer?
He's going to need one if he doesn't. That's what I would suggest. Okay. Everybody, any name you mention is going to need an attorney. My list is 27 names and counting. You think you can pull some shit like this on me? What if you did this to Leonard? Leonard, would you be after him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, my lovely wife Jan. Jan, you've been very quiet today.
Yeah.
Yeah. She came up with an interesting comment this morning, and it was all to do with celebrating Haley's sixth birthday, which is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. And, you know, we all hope that she'll be eating cake. But when we look at what's actually going on, I personally can't see how buying school supplies can possibly help the little girl. The balloon thing, yeah, in a gazillion to one shot, it might just help, just because there's that little thing attached to it that says, you know, have you seen this little girl? Jan, would you have done this, or would you have done something else?
Let me explain why I questioned what I said. There's nothing wrong with helping the children with school supplies. As a mother myself, I know even back when my kids were small, they were very expensive to get. But that's not my point. We get yelled at all the time, find Kaylee. When we discuss a certain topic, they all want to say, what's this got to do with finding Haley? Get out there and find Haley. That's all we hear. But then
These
people come up and praise these people because they're out there buying school supplies for the kids in the name of Haley. What is that got to do with finding Haley?
Anytime Haley's name is mentioned, it's a good thing. Like Padilla said, it's a good thing. Anytime you can do it. And if you got to go and come up with some lame shit about school supplies and stuff like that, something you're not really forte'd into. We have a lady down here in this area, I don't know if you know her or not, her name's Big Mama. And Big Mama is one of them real people that goes out, and I just was over to her place the other day about the bags and everything else and what they're actually going to and this, that, and the other. Listen, these are all good little ideas that people got, but when I was up there and I was walking through the swamps 20 and 22 hours a day, documented by TJ, documented by Art Harris, for 10 days straight, I had almost logged 220 hours in 10 days myself. There wasn't another swing soul, nobody looking for the child, and this is during the week of March 11th through 10 days. Nobody. So they were all sitting home boozing it up and doing dope on both sides of the family, and I'm out there thinking this little girl's probably being tortured by somebody or something's going on, and how come neither side cares? Because nobody don't care. But if you have a more than a three-minute conversation and don't mention the word Haley, somebody say, what's this got to do with Haley? All of it does. All of Ronald's personal behavior, all of that personal life that he don't want brought up, absolutely goes right to what happened to Haley.
Okay. All right. I'm going to approach this in a different way. Okay, so I see a flyer, buy school supplies. So I go to the store, I spend $5-$10, I buy some pens, pencils, whatever. I mean, wouldn't that $5 or $10 be better spent, you know, giving it to Texas Equisearch?
Probably not.
I've been trying to get you to bite all afternoon, Leonard.
No, let me explain to you. When we first met with Tim Miller after Nancy Grace pitched $100,000 in his direction, and I kept telling him, I'll get you 500 people out there. There was a tremendous amount of people out there from the bail industry that showed up. He had 1,400 searchers. He wasn't prepared to cope with them. He didn't have the thing to do. But the night we met with him, I could have just gone down to any saloon and gotten, you know, I don't drink, so I have a distaste for business meetings with a bunch of drunks.
Yeah, amen.
So that didn't impress me at all that night. The only good thing that came out of it that night was that Lisa came up and said, look at the picture I got of this little cross out of Jay Blanchard, and that's where we matched up the beads and all that. No, I don't think the $5 that Tim Miller would do any good. then if you just, I don't know what else you can do with it, but no, I don't believe so. His,
yeah,
it's a business. He runs a business.
Tell him to send it to me, Leonard. I'll tell you what to do with it. I got lawyer fees and all kinds of shit because I was actually doing something.
Yeah, yeah. If you're out there, and then here's the thing. Tim sits there and says, oh, Leonard was just signing autographs and taking pictures with people. Yeah, there's people come from across the country to take pictures with me and take autographs. I told Tim, I said, be thankful you'd have had a riot on your hands. You were prepared for about 150 people, 200, and 1,400 people show up. Be glad there was somebody taking up the slack.
There you go.
But ask him where the $100 went that Nancy Grace raced for him. He can't tell you.
Holy shit. Now, see, that pisses me off because I can show you every dime where I've spent and everything that's lost on this case and every dime I've collected. It's been less than $4,000.
No, he cannot tell you because most of the other stuff that was used by him, all the assets were used, were donated or contributed by different companies.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you'll all be a bad cat by now. Shit.
I'm hearing a very nasty story here.
Oh, it could get nastier. Talk to Mandy. She was his right hand in the financial end of things. Yeah, talk to Mandy. Talk to a couple of the other people.
Call in, honey. Call in. Tell the number again, Simon. So get Mandy to call in.
Yeah.
What we don't need is more sideshow stuff, even though it does bring attention to Haley. We don't need no more rats.
No, the most important thing you can do, the most important thing you can do right now is get the media involved with Haley. Get her picture on, get her picture back up on television. Get the stories going. Nancy Grace, I'm not just saying that because I'm on there. Nancy Grace does a incredible job because she does get the pictures up there. And you go back in the past 2 years and see the pictures of kids that she's had on there. And regardless of whether they were found dead or alive, they have been found.
She got the word out, by God.
She got the
word
out.
Yeah, the person who's worked with Nancy, too, she does a hell of a job. So does Jane Velez Mitchell and Prime News.
Yeah.
And Prime News with the HLN.
Yeah.
But next time y'all talking to them, tell them Cobra Man's in a hell of a lot of trouble, and you know what? We can turn this around quicker than they can think, and shit will pop off. I need them to step up. Step up, because I ain't no Tim Miller. I do not drink. And you know what, Leonard? That's exactly what happened on this case. 10 days exactly into this case, everybody decided to go get drunk. And then everything went to hell in a handbasket, buddy.
I think on this delightful note, it's probably time to close the program down. We are out of time. I really want to thank our illustrious, and that is the only word for it, panel.
You've got the best panel in the world. You ought to be honored today, Simon.
Leonard, thank you so much for...
You're welcome. You're quite welcome.
I do hope that we can talk again.
Sure, anytime.
Jan?
Nice having you on, Leonard.
You're right. Bill, good talking to you, Jan. Simon, I'm going to hang up right now so that you guys can go ahead.
Nice talking to everyone.
Okay.
And thank you all for calling
in. Thank you.
And all the information.
TJ.
Yes, sir.
This must have given you some food for thought.
Oh, yeah, it's already been cooking for a while. A lot of this stuff is kind of been around, but it's determining the who, what, when, where after the allegation that that's got to be ferreted out. But it's been coming from a lot of sources. So, it's going to be a busy week, that's for sure.
Pickles, I think we lost a... Pickles, thank you so much for calling in. It's been an interesting hour, and I'm sure we'll be doing this again next week. This is Simon Barrett and Jan Barrett wishing everyone a great day, and we will talk to you all again soon. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Jan.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.